Chris Miles was able to retire twice by the time he was 39 years old. But he's not content to just enjoy his own financial freedom and peace of mind. Chris wants you to have your own ripple effect so you can live free today. He's not the financial advisor you expected. He's the anti-financial advisor you deserve. He's jumping behind the mic right now, ready to make waves. Here's Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Welcome you out for a wonderful show, a show that's for you and about you. Those of you who work so hard for your money, and you're ready for your money, start working harder for you now. You want that freedom, that cash flow, that prosperity today, not 30, 40 bazillion years from now, but right now. So you can live that life that you love, doing what you love, being with those that you love. But it's so much more, guys, than just having a lot of money and being comfortable and you know, driving flashy cars and that kind of thing. Because if you're following us, we're not those kind of people. We're real people. We're sincere. We're authentic. And the truth is that you're a rippler. That you, yes, you can create lots and lots of money and create the life of your dreams. But your life is much more than that. You want to create a ripple effect through the lives of those around you, whether it be your family, whether it be your community, the country, or across the world. And that's ultimately what this ripple effect's about. And I appreciate you guys allowing me to create a ripple effect through you, because without that, we couldn't do it. And you guys have been binging on these shows. You've been spreading the word. You've been sharing it. And I love seeing these numbers grow every single day. So thank you for being a part of this. Hey, as a quick reminder, check out our website, moneyripples.com. You've got the great ebook on there called Beyond Rice and Beans, 7 Secrets to Free Up Cash Today. And you can check out other information on there as well. So check it out. Hey, are you looking for another great podcast to listen to? One about investing and not only just investing, but learning about cool deals like investing in apartments that does not require you to have to be an accredited investor or have $1 million. Hey, if you want to check that out, go check out my friend Lane Kawaoka's site, simplepassivecashflow.com. He's got a great podcast also called Simple Passive Cashflow that you can check out on YouTube, iTunes, or whatever your favorite podcast app is. If you want some great education and to learn about great ways to invest in other types of deals without, again, needing a ton of money, check it out, simplepassivecashflow.com, or look up Simple Passive Cashflow on YouTube or your podcast app. Check it out. All right, today, guys, I'm bringing on another great investor on our show here. This is actually a guy by the name of Todd Dexheimer here. Now, Todd's been doing real estate. He got in right during the last recession. Like, he was born out of the fire, right? He was born out of those flames of when everybody says real estate stinks. And that's exactly when Todd said, all right, let's do this. He actually started as a high school industrial tech teacher and then went into real estate in 2008. Now, interesting thing about him is that he's the CEO of Venture Properties, LLC. He's also purchased and renovated over 800 units, guys. His focus is on syndicating value-add multifamily in emerging markets, as well as coaching other inspiring investors. He's also been guest he's a host of the Pillar of Wealth Creation podcast that actually I've been on as well. He's also been contributing to things like Bigger Pockets, and he's been on various shows, whether it's like, you know, Big Real Estate Investing Advice Ever or the Michael Blank Show, and many, many more. And so he lives in Minnesota with his wife and two kids, loves skiing, hunting, camping, hockey, running. Of course, he's in Minnesota. He's got to love hockey, right? So anyways, Todd, welcome to our show.
Yeah, appreciate you having me on. Appreciate the introduction. And man, I'm pumped up. That intro was awesome. I'm pumped up to hopefully add some value to the show. And this is an exciting community, it sounds like we got here. So
absolutely. No, these are good people. These are the best ones you'll ever witness. I'll tell you that. So, tell us, like, you know, how did you even go from, you know, high school teacher to real estate? Like, what even sparked that? Because everybody's freaking out in 2008 and you're like, hey, why not? Right.
Yeah. I mean, what was I going to lose, man? I had,
right.
I was making, not very much as a high school teacher. And, I think there was, I don't know exactly what sparked it. I don't know if it was just a spark, but I've always, I think, had this entrepreneurial spirit with me. I actually built shipping crates for my dad's company he worked at. He was a manufacturing engineer and they're making these vices, and I built shipping crates for these vices. So I had my own Dex custom crates business that my brother and and dad kind of formed and along with me. And then I took over and did that. So that was fun. That was when I was in high school. I had the lawn mowing business, you know, but then I decided to be a teacher and just quite frankly, it just didn't click. Like I thought it was going to be great. And there was parts of it that was great, but it just didn't click. And it wasn't for me. And I bet within like a month or two, I was telling my wife, I got to figure out what I'm going to do when I grow up because this ain't it. And so
that would have been a scary moment for her to say, wait, you invested all of this to now say you want to get out.
Right. When we just started our life together, you know, it's like all this. So it was kind of crazy, but at the same time, I knew it wasn't for me. So it was just exploratory and just trying to figure out. And real estate made a ton of sense. And like you said, it was right during that like firestorm, right? Everything was crashing. Everybody was running the opposite direction. And I got in a little bit about, you know, I was naive. I didn't really understand 100% what happened because I wasn't involved. Like I didn't lose anything, right?
Yeah.
So it was a little bit of maybe me being naive, but also seeing the opportunity, understanding like that real estate will go back up in value, even though some people said, and I heard this a lot of times, real estate will never go back up to where it used to be, never. And that's very short-sighted. And I knew that. It's like,
yeah,
basically. But these are people that just got burned, right?
Yeah.
And so it just made so much financial sense. I understood the industry, being an industrial tech teacher and, you know, doing construction through the summers to work my way through high school and college. It just made sense.
Yeah. So what was your first deal? Like what'd you start out doing?
You know what? I did three deals pretty much at one time, which is crazy. And I didn't have any money, by the way. My wife and I had probably like $30,000 saved up, maybe $25,000 saved up.
Yeah.
And so we bought a single family that we ended up living in, but it was a foreclosure. We did this 203K loan so you can get in for very little money. And then we did the renovation ourselves. Big renovation. I mean, when we moved in, there was no plumbing. The water wasn't working. So like the first like, I shouldn't say when we moved in, like probably the day we moved in, I just got it going. I can still remember working on some, we didn't have heat, which was fine because we moved in August, but we had to get heat because in Minnesota by end of September, you need heat.
Yeah.
And so I did like
get on a time deadline.
We were on a time deadline. Yeah.
Yeah.
But so that was one of them. The other one was a flip, that I partnered with the guy that had money. And we did the fix and flip. And then the other one was a single family, rental house. I bought that out of foreclosure and, for like 60,000, somewhere around there, stuck another, you know, 10,000-15,000 into it, did all the work myself with my wife and a couple friends came and helped me. That was it. And was able to then refinance that house actually. And that snowballed from there. Huh. The fix and flip actually ended up being a flop. I bet I made $1,000 on it. Wow. I did all the work.
You have to learn pretty quickly. Like it's probably better that happened because in some people's case, when they hit really big on that first flip, they think, well, that's the way it's always going to be, right?
Yeah. Oh, this is easy.
Yeah, exactly. And you're like, okay, that wasn't as cool as I thought. That was like $1 an hour. Gosh.
it probably wasn't even that much.
Well, that's great. And you've done flips. You've even done mobile home parks and you did a ski resort. Is that right?
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
I bought a defunct ski resort. So, it was just a ski resort that, you know, we had some really bad winters in the late 90s to early 2000s where there just wasn't a lot of snow. And so when that happens, these little ski resorts just can't handle it. And so they end up shutting it down. Somebody got hurt really bad too. And so there was a big lawsuit. And so it just, shut down. The guy that owned it, originally passed away, handed it down to his kid, grown adult, but just didn't want to do it anymore. So they ended up shutting it down and, we stumbled upon it. Actually the business partner at the time was actually hunting nearby, and he was seeing all these deer trails, and they all led into this property. So we went and talked to the owner, and then it's like, hey, what's going on here? And we ended up striking a deal then. We ended up getting the property, and we got it for such a cheap price that we had a bank that financed it 100%.
Wow.
It appraised for $1 million, and we were buying it for $450,000, and they financed 100% of the deal.
That's incredible.
It was incredible. And that was 2000, maybe 13 or 14. So things, I mean, still were a little iffy, you know, probably 13.
Yeah.
We're still a little iffy there, and the banks weren't being super friendly.
Yeah.
Not like that.
But the numbers made sense. They said, all right, we'll go for it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So we ended up just taking that. We did some work to it. We were thinking about doing something with it, but it ended up just being more of a distraction to try to get it up and running. So we ended up selling it. So I basically flipped the ski resort. I tried to convince my wife to move down there. She said no.
I was saying, as a skier, you were probably really tempted, weren't you?
Yeah, it was great. It was, and it's amazingly beautiful piece of property, and it's just amazing. So
that's great. What kind of deals are you doing now? Like what kind of multifamily stuff are you doing? Because I know with different people I've had on this show, some of them were kind of like, you know what? I'm getting so strict with my underwriting. Like I am almost refusing things left and right. Right. And
Yep. And kind of the same, actually. Things were heating up quite a bit. Obviously that was pre-COVID. Things were heating up quite a bit, and it was really tough to find a deal that made sense. Some people were just buying these properties for crazy amounts, and we weren't willing to. So I'm buying, value add B class multifamily, typically 100+ units, so we can have some scale, we can have the on-site staff. And we're buying those in a few markets across the country that are kind of emerging or markets that have all the right fundamentals that we're really looking for.
Yeah.
And we're doing the syndication. So we're raising the funds for down payment, all that kind of stuff. So that's kind of our bread and butter. And I anticipate that to still be our bread and butter as we kind of emerge through this whole COVID. Deals will probably come out of this. We don't know exactly the future yet, but I think there'll be some opportunity down the road.
Yeah. I mean, not that I glory in people's pain, right? Or when people do something bad, but I definitely foresee that there's a lot of deal operators that really weren't operators. They were just greedy people wanting to get in on the ride, right? And bought these properties, even probably have investors' money out there, but they've never done a deal before and they don't know how to operate something. And I imagine that's where there could be some good opportunities coming up.
I think so. And like you said, when you look at it, you go, some people are excited. They're like, oh, it's great. I can't wait for people to start losing their properties. And it's like, well, do you understand like that actually only hurts you as well? Like,
right.
I've got properties. So if the guys and gals around me lose their properties, my property value is going to go down.
Right.
And so it's, you know, do I wish ill will upon anybody? No, but the matter of the fact is exactly what you said. Likely there's going to be people that are going to end up maybe not losing their property, but be told to sell. Lenders have loan covenants and you are going to be told to sell if you're not hitting your numbers. And so you're going to be forced to sell. And you're right. A lot of those people had no clue what they're doing, or even if they did have a clue what they were doing, they were just going about it the wrong way. They're going after these properties for fees.
I
think that's a lot of what was happening is people are going, wow, I can do this deal. I can syndicate it and I can make $300,000 right up front on this deal. Like that's a great payday. All I need to do is one to two of those each year and I'm doing really well. And so people are doing two, maybe three deals a year. They're making $600,000 to $1 million. And man, they didn't care how good the deal was. That's
right.
Unfortunately, I think what was happening.
Yeah. No, there's definitely, I've seen that. I have definitely seen that out there. And you're right. Like we don't want people to sell off, like in the sense of just being, you know, selling off for dirt cheap or anything like that. you know, I would more see like, where's the opportunity of increasing profits and something that's already there, right? It's like, you know, where they just didn't operate it well. And yeah. In your opinion, like right now, I mean, what are you seeing? Are you seeing like good deals, or are you seeing most everything's just junk currently?
Yeah. So currently I would say we haven't seen much adjustment. The sellers aren't quite ready to take a discount, and
yeah,
I don't need the sellers to take a bath. Like I don't need, in order for me to feel comfortable with the buy, it's not like I need the sellers to sell for 40% discount or something like that. Now, would that be great? Sure. But you know, I need the sellers to come off of their price by, let's call it 10%, maybe 15%. And though then, okay, I'm ready to start buying. For me, my company, we don't need to buy properties dirt cheap. Now, will we?
Yeah.
If that happens, absolutely. But it's still about the fundamentals of the piece of real estate and how the numbers work, and can we get our business plan to be able to, and can we execute it? And so that's the really important part. So,
yeah, what kind of cash flow or NOI can you get from it, right?
Yeah. So I've been talking to a lot of brokers that deal in my space, and they're all kind of the same. Most sellers are looking for right now between a 10 and a 20% discount. Or sorry, most buyers are looking for a 10 to 20% discount. Most sellers are expecting to sell either at the previous high or within at least 10%. So I have heard from brokers that a lot of sellers are understanding they've got to come down 5 to 10%. And, but most buyers are actually even more than that. So we've got a gap there. Eventually that'll close.
Got to take that. It's got to take some time before they start adjusting and believing the numbers and say,
real estate's not the stock market. I mean, right, Chris? I mean, the stock market goes like this. It actually overreacts quickly, where real estate actually underreacts and takes a while for those drops to happen.
Isn't that the beautiful thing about real estate is it doesn't happen overnight, right? Where people are used to, if they've been watching the stock market, it's painful to watch. You can't watch it, you know, without freaking out, you know, where at least with real estate, there's slow adjustments typically. I mean, whether the prices go down or up, usually there's time involved.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, right now I've got a property on the market and I have priced it about 15% below where I would have expected to sell it just a few months ago. And I'm kicking myself because I should have sold it in January, but I didn't know this was happening for some reason.
Of course.
but I still want to sell the property and I'm happy to take a 15% discount because quite frankly, I'm still going to do really well on it.
Yeah.
And I see there's opportunity potentially coming. So I'd rather take that capital, be able to have it, be able to, you know, put it out there when better deals do come. So right now, if you're wanting to be a seller, it's like still sell because real estate's slow, as you said, but it's going to take a while.
And that's a good point too. Like you said, you don't always have to find bad deals. It could be someone just like you who already bought a great deal. It's appreciated. You know, you've add value to it. And of course now the price is great. Even if you have to take a discount, you're still going to make good money on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's plenty of those deals too.
Yep.
Well, great. Well, how would tell us more about your show, the Pillars of Wealth Creation show. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So, Pillars of Wealth Creations, mainly a real estate show, but we also talk to a lot of people that aren't necessarily real estate investors first and foremost. So the show is kind of more catered towards the business side of the real estate, like not necessarily talking the nuts and bolts of real estate. I can learn that in a book for the most part. And there's a lot of other podcasts that talk about nuts and bolts. But one of the big things that we like to focus on is how do you really build a business the right way? So how do we take, because so many real estate investors are transactional, right? They think about real estate as just buying a piece of property and that's it. And then we're going to be passive, right? We're going to buy this piece of property. We're going to buy this 100-unit apartment. And then we're going to be able to sit back on the beach and relax because now we got all this cash flow coming. Well, that's not how it works. If you want to do that, then you need to passively, truly passively invest in real estate.
That's right.
But if you're going to buy the piece of property and that you're going to be a part of that deal, you've got to be an active business owner. You've got to learn how to make a business plan. You've got to learn, you know, how to set up systems and processes. And you've got to learn how to build teams. You've got to do all the things that a regular business owner does. And so many real estate investors have no clue that that's even part of what they should be learning.
That's so true. Like I'm in a, kind of a high level mastermind group where you usually have to have at least 100 doors to be even in that group. And it's so common, even with those guys who legitimately do have a business, right? Even for them to say, oh, like I am getting up at 4 or 5 a.m. to basically get to work and just hammer this out. And I'm trying to manage everybody. And I don't know if I should have a CEO or not, or a COO, or, you know, they're like going nuts. They went from just trying to make money on a few flips and deals like that. And now they're like, man, like just to make these millions of dollars, I have no life, no real passive income. And that's a big difference. There's a big difference in lifestyle between that active investor, right? The person that is a business owner versus those that are just passively investing and
absolutely
what you offer.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, great. So obviously, like if people follow your show, when you talk about syndications, you're probably talking about your syndications and deals you're doing right then too, right? If people are looking for passive investments, you've got your own funds as well, right?
Yeah. You know, on the show, I try not to, I don't probably talk too much about the deals as they're going, but once we close on a deal, I usually will give kind of a, hey, here's what we did.
Cool.
Here are the lessons we learned along the way. You know, here's maybe some things we, you know, found in due diligence and why we made adjustments. And so we'll talk about, you know, there's a lot of mistakes and lessons learned, even along active deals. I've been doing this for a while, but I still make mistakes. I still learn a lot of things on every single deal that I feel like it can bring to my audience and allow them to hopefully learn as well. From what I've learned from my mistakes. So,
well, the thing I love what you do is you're not the kind of guy to say, hey, this deal looks awesome. Like you're not just, you know, running around like a monkey with a machine gun, right? Like you're actually like, hey, this deal doesn't fit my parameters. Next. Okay. Takes me 30 seconds to see this. This one's a no. Like you just keep passing and passing. And those are like the best investors in my mind, are the ones that say no to almost everything, just like Warren Buffett did. He'd always say, I say no to almost everything and yes to very, very few things, you know? You have to, right? Like you can't be successful if you're just chasing after every little deal. You're going to have you're going to have losses and maybe some gains, but you're going to have a lot of losses. You won't be in business very long.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I mean, Warren Buffett's obviously a pretty smart man, and he says that for a reason. There's so many deals out there, and those are deals for everybody else, not for me.
Yeah, I actually remember him. He said a quote. He said to one of my friends in an interview. He said, "The difference between the successful and the ultra successful is that the ultra successful say no almost every time."
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah,
it's true. And I know you're that kind of guy too. So anyways, you know, listeners, guys, those of you who are following this, like check out his website for sure. Do you have a website people can follow?
Yeah. A couple websites, Pillars of Wealth Creation. They can get to my podcast, and then just my general website, which they can actually still get to my podcast through that is venturedproperties.com. So it's venture and then D as a dog or Daxheimer properties.com. Sure.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll definitely make sure we get those links in the show notes so people can follow your show, or even check out your site and get to know you more, obviously, especially if people are looking for investing and opportunities and things of that nature. Because obviously you're looking right now, you're actively looking for the right deals, not just any deal.
Yeah, looking for the right deals. And there's opportunities that are going to come down the pipeline. And I think the important part for people that right now to be just thinking about is what are the paradigms that are going to be shifting through this whole event, right? People's paradigm shift, consumers' thoughts are going to shift, workers' habits are going to shift. So there's going to be different things that are going to come out of this. And how can we make sure we're positioning ourselves to be able to take advantage of the opportunities that are in front of us? And it's not necessarily take advantage of other people. It's take advantage of the people's wants and needs that, you know, the consumers' wants and needs out there. If you can best serve them, I think you're going to have a lot of success. And that's what I'm looking at with multifamily, with real estate in general. I consider myself a value add real estate investor. Multifamily, I love a lot, but I also look at other asset classes. So we look at, you know, what are the strengths and weaknesses? What are the trends? Where do we think that things are going to be going? And we're trying to make the best decisions, obviously, for ourselves and our investors on that.
Yeah. Where can you improve upon something to make it better, you know, for everybody, right? And that's
absolutely.
And what cooler way to make money than actually bettering people's lives and making money from that. I mean, that's the way life, and that's the way the world should be, in my opinion.
That's the way it should be.
Yep. Well, great. Well, hey, I appreciate your time so much, Todd. Like, this is awesome. Again, everybody check out the links in the show notes, you know, be able to follow his podcast or check out his site. So everybody remember, it's all about that patience. It's all about looking for the right thing, not just anything, but the very right thing. So follow Todd, and everybody, I hope you make it a wonderful and prosperous week. We'll see you later.
Visit us online at moneyripples.com for more resources to help you fix money leaks and get your money working harder for you now.